Church, let us be seated as we get prepared to listen to the word of life. First, I want to appreciate the Lord Most High for giving us the opportunity to see today, for his faithfulness over our lives. I want to appreciate my bishop and my father and my man for the work of the gospel the Lord has placed in their hands. And it is my prayer that as they have given us the opportunity by the help of the Holy Spirit to stand before you to deliver the counsel of God, I pray that their ministry will go from places to places, from glory to glory. And I pray that shall rub upon all of us clergy and our wives in the name of Jesus. I want us to listen to this testimony because the devil doesn't want me and my wife to be here today. And shame unto the devil. We took off all the way from Vancouver, BC, Canada. We got to Chicago, and a journey of less than 1 hour in the air, the devil wanted to turn it to be a sorrowful one. We were already in the plane, and it has already taxied, about to gain the speed to take off. I just looked at the window from the window side, and I saw the emergency responders. They were all coming in numbers. The police, the fire, the trucks, ambulances, they were coming to our aircraft. I was looking at the situation, I never understood what was going on. I was thinking maybe there's a terrorist, but everything was calm in the plane though. So later the pilot just announced that, well, we won't be able to run this journey because one of the engine is blown off. It's on fire. I just heard my wife say, I said, God has just answered another prayer. So we move on back to the gate. We disembarked. And we stood at the airport looking for another aircraft to take us. But we are here today. Glory be to God. Because you are here today, your miracle will not delay you. Yeah. Talk to somebody beside you and say, my miracle will not delay me today. I want you to help me to sing. I love song, but my mistake is that I don't know how to keep song in my memory. So we're going to sing. And the song is this. Let the Spirit of the Lord come down. Let us rise. Let the Spirit of the Lord come down. We take it very fast.
Let the Spirit of the Lord.
Holy Spirit, replace the tension within us with a holy relaxation.
Amen.
Turn the turbulence within us unto sacred calm and peace. Substitute the anxieties and worries within us with your quiet assurance and hope.
Amen.
Replace the fear and doubt within us with a strong and unshakable faith.
Amen.
As we look at your word today, use me to speak. Let no man seize me but you.
Amen.
Glorify yourself at the end.
Amen.
For we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
I want you to sit down majestically and get prepared because you are firing on.
Amen.
The theme of our synod is receive the Holy Spirit. Can you talk that to somebody? Receive the Holy Spirit. If you are here this morning, let me prepare your mind. You will not leave this sanctuary today without having a touch of the Holy Spirit upon your life.
Amen.
So I want you to get yourself ready. Fasting your secret. Because we are firing on. But for the purpose of this sermon, I subtitle the message as the breath of revival. The breath of revival. And I take my text from John's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 22. It reads, and when Jesus has said a statement in verse 21, he breathed on them and said to the apostles, receive the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus has said a statement in verse 21, he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. This passage reflects what happened in the Old Testament at creation, as is recorded in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. When God formed man in his own image, Adam, the Bible says, God breathed into Adam, and he became a living soul. And no wonder the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17, if any man is in Christ, is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. The same passage reflected itself in the incidents on the day of Pentecost, where we see the work of God's Spirit as the Spirit of power and the Spirit of might. Isaiah chapter 11 verse 2 says that. And this is just to enable the apostles or the disciples for ministry. And no wonder at this time, this synod is very important in our own life. I want us to examine just a word in that thing. Receive the Holy Spirit. Just the word. The word Jesus used and the word Jesus said to the disciples. And that word is simple. Receive. After we examine that word, I will show us five things that will happen to you after you receive the Holy Spirit. And I will ask you a very pertinent question afterwards. Then I wrap up a sermon. I trust the Holy Spirit to lead us to.
Amen.
Receive. That's what I want to look at. Receive. Many of us, we read this statement, but I don't know if we really take time to really study that word. But by the grace of God, when I was preparing this message, Holy Spirit struck this into my heart several times. And other things, they have been striking into my heart. And I take vivid look into this, that there is a difference between taking and receiving. There is a difference between taking and receiving. You know what? When you take, you draw that thing to yourself. When you take, you are the principal person in that act. When you take,
You are the one that is engaging yourself in taking the thing. But when you receive, your action is passive. Your action is not recognized. But every action of receiving something is being done by the giver. And when the Holy Spirit exposed this to me, I began to look at the reason why we have not been seeing the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I trust God that today your story will change for good.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Many have been struggling with the Holy Spirit. We have been struggling with God. We have been struggling in our lives. And I want you to see this picture. Look at this. Can you check your pamphlet for today? You see the picture of the hand, right? That is the hand I want to receive. That's the hand of somebody that is passive in transference of good things. Not the person that is taking it. Not the person that is not ready to listen. Because let me tell you, most of the time when we make every attempt to take, God is not in it. When we make every attempt to grab, we leave God out of it. Many of us have been struggling with our victories, which you're supposed to have taken on a platter of gold if you have positioned yourself to receive. But because you have been making every effort to take, that victory has become a struggle. Many are here, they have been struggling to take their health. And they have been struggling with it because they have been calculating how that sickness killed the younger brother of their father. They have been calculating how that sickness has been so prevalent in their family that at the age of 40, somebody must die. Let me tell you, every of such covenant in your life is broken today.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hey, we have been struggling even to take our financial freedom because we always want to take it. Rather, we're supposed to do what? Receive it. That's the word I'm dwelling on today. And I believe God to help us. Because by the time you fully understand your position in the transference of the blessings of God, you will struggle. Jesus has already prepared the disciples for days, for years. And in leaving them, he said, receive. Listen to me. Look at that hand. What is it expecting? It's expecting to receive. But the hand that grasps, look at me. We do this, we go this way. Because you want to do what? You want to grab. And somebody will say, we grab it by force. You are only struggling by fire. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, you need to position yourself to do what? To receive. Our business is just to keep receiving. Many have not even given a thought one day. You have been struggling to take your marriages because you always want to take it. Please receive your marriage.
Yeah.
I said receive your marriage.
Yeah.
You have been struggling to take even your life back. Many are struggling with addictions of different kinds. Let me tell you where I came from in Canada. It's so prevalent. Addictions. Different kinds. And the government, until they realize there is a position of the church in tackling some of these issues, the thing will continue to be like that and they begin to spend a lot of money. I want you to know, most of those addictions as power of the spirit attached to them. And the only thing that can solve that problem is when the power of addiction is being confronted with the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And that is what you are here to receive. And I pray you will receive it in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
I have good news for somebody here this morning. If you are suffering from one addiction or the other, you will be delivered this morning.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Listen to this. Stop.
taking, but start receiving. Let me say it again. Stop taking, but start receiving. That is to say, stop struggling with God. Allow Him to do it. Many will sit down and calculate their destiny. You don't calculate your destiny, people of God. Hand it over to Him. Psalm 37 from verse 4 says, commit your ways before the Lord, put your trust also in Him, and He's going to give you what? The desires of your life. Stop taking, but start receiving. Please let me tell somebody on your right and on your left. Stop taking, but start receiving. When you take, you are operating with the hands of flesh. And the Bible says, the hands of flesh, you know what? Will not prevail. In 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 8, we read the story of the king Sennacherib waging war against King Ezekiah. And the people were so terrified that look at this man with his armies. They were the gods. And King Ezekiah said something to his troop. Relax. Sennacherib is only having the arms of flesh with me. But we, those that are with us, are more than those that are there. And that gave them victory. Listen to me, people of God. At the moment you stop taking, you stop struggling with the Holy Ghost you are receiving in this synod. At the moment you stop struggling with the Holy Spirit you are receiving in this synod, you see things working out for you. Your miracle will manifest. I want you to say big amen. Your miracle will manifest. Five things will happen when you receive the Holy Spirit. Number one, your darkness will turn to light. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 to 3 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. When there was confusion, no form, and there was chaos, the only thing that brought the difference from darkness to light was the presence and manifestation of the Spirit that moved upon the faces of the deep. When that happened, God spoke. This morning, God is going to speak to your situation. I don't know what you are passing through, but I'm so confident that today, your darknesses will turn to light. In the name of Jesus. The second thing that will happen when you receive the Holy Spirit is that your home will be exalted. Psalm 92 verse 10. The Bible says, but my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Let me say this at this juncture. The Holy Spirit we are talking about, we saw it in creation as the breath of the Lord. It manifests as the Holy Spirit of God. And is also reflecting as well as the anointing of God. The oil of anointing. And the Bible says, my arm, which is my head, shall thou exalt like a horn of a unicorn. Let me give you a description of the animal called a unicorn. It's like a horse, big and massive. At its forehead, it has just a single horn. And this animal, because many of you come from Africa, I know you understand what I'm saying,
that when a hunter sees this animal in the jungle, the hunter must go into hiding. You know why? Because he doesn't want this horn, this unicorn, to do what? To sandwich him to a tree. It is that horn the unicorn uses for his defense and for his attack. And let me tell you, many of us are just living our life with no horn. You can imagine what will happen when the unicorn exists. And the unicorn, whose horn is supposed to be long and strong, the horn has been cut. What do you think will happen? That unicorn will suffer. The same way many of us have been living our life. Many of us, our horn is so flat that even when you try to defend or attack, it doesn't work for you. But I want to say, as the prophet of the living God, even to your lives, every arm that has been cut by the devil, every arm that has been put to become flat by our actions, today they will receive revival. In the name of Jesus. We are talking about the bread for revival. The horn of a unicorn. My arm shall now exalt. Many of you are supposed to be speaking like directors. Supposed to be operating the position of authority, supposed to be in charge, but you are not. Today, by the virtue of this sinner, receive the Holy Spirit, you will begin to be in charge. In the name of Jesus. Whatsoever that has led you to live a life of mediocrity, today an end has come to that. In the name of Jesus. The third thing that we have to do when you receive the Holy Spirit is that you will operate under a new covenant. Hallelujah. Amen. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 10 to 12 says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their heart, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to my people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, come to church. Eh? For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest." When you receive the Holy Spirit, no one will teach you, come serve the Lord. No one will remind you the time for our programs. No one will tell you it's time to go to church. No wonder that man said, "I am glad anytime they tell me, let's go to the house of the Lord." Many people are struggling. We are struggling with many people coming to the presence of the Lord because they've not received the Holy Spirit. You are here today. By the time you live here, you will discover in your life that you are already a new person. Yeah. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. The fourth thing that will happen when you receive the Holy Spirit is that bondages will be ended. Yeah. Because yokes will be broken. Yeah. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. That's the fourth thing that will happen. The Bible says that it shall come to pass in that day that his body shall be taken away from off your shoulder, and his yoke from off the neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. I said to somebody's life this morning, who is ready to experience a change of life in its totality? Every yoke that's any man, every bondages that limited your progress, by the reason of the Holy Spirit you are receiving now, those are destroyed forever. Yeah. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. The last thing that we happen. The fifth thing I have here that will happen when you receive the Holy Spirit is that you will be planted in the house of God. Psalm 92 verse 13. It says, "Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the court of our God." People of God, there is no flourishing outside. Where do we have it? Here. If you are planted here, you will flourish. If you are with us, you will flourish with us. But if you are outside, you are joining them, you can't experience
what we are experiencing here.
The Bible says in the presence of God is fullness of joy, and its right hand are pleasures forevermore. Let me tell you, if you come to his presence, you'll be planted and you'll be established. And I want to conclude with a very simple thing that we always say around us, and that is the sunflower. I want to conclude with that. The sunflower, you can see the picture, right? It's probably the most amazing flower God created. You know why? Because they literally follow the sun. When you see one strand of sunflower torn following the sun, it's so cute. And when you see hundreds following the sun in unity, that's absolutely incredible. And that lifestyle of a sunflower is what I want to advise us to emulate as we go with the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit we have received. The sunflower, even after the sunset, you see the sunflower still tracking the movement of the sun. So amazing. And for 360, you see the sunflower moving. Wherever the sun is located, the sunflower stays. When the sun shifts base, the sunflower will do what? We shift base. And in this case, the sunflower is our God, the Holy Spirit. When he says go, you do what? You go. You don't take. You do what? You receive. When he says come, you do what? You come. You don't take, but you do what? You receive. The sunflower always receives from the sun. They don't take. That is why you see them moving in the direction of the sun. And their unity is totally dependent in their relationship with the sun. Therefore, receiving the Holy Spirit begins with your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Maybe you are here this morning. You want to begin a new relationship with God, your Maker. You are here this morning. You want to restore your broken relationship with God, your Maker. Let me tell you, we have passed the era where we just have multitude in the church. I know it's going to be the desires of every clergyman to get to heaven and see the members of their congregation there. So this morning, I want to advise you that you start a new relationship with God the way there is a permanent relationship between sunflower and the sun. I want you to restore that broken relationship with God. Because receiving the Holy Spirit is not meant for those that are not in Christ. Jesus said a statement to his disciples, not to the multitude. Maybe you are here and you want to be included. Opportunity is open for you. And therefore, I want all of us to bow our heads. I want us to close our eyes. I was telling somebody this morning that if you really want to receive the Holy Spirit and make it...
Oh, bless your name.